Mother's Day. And today we definitely celebrate mothers, and God bless you mothers that are here. And this morning what I want to speak about for a few moments is God's Wonder Woman from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. Let me tell you, someone said that dads are super, but moms are special. While the father may be the head of the household, the children may be the hub of the household, but mom is the heart of the household. And I'm sure that many of us here today would all testify to the fact that had it not been for our mothers, we might not turn out to be the way that we are. That's not to downplay dads, but there's something special about our mothers because they are the ones that are usually caring for us while dad is working. This morning, I want to speak about God's ideal mother. First, I want us to see the character and the integrity of the godly mother in the home. I want you to see the importance of the character and the integrity of this godly mother. In these verses, we are describing the type of mother that every mother should aspire to. It's a standard maybe by which many feel that they couldn't necessarily achieve, but nonetheless, it is a standard by which all mothers should aspire to be. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 in the ESV, it says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels." That word excellent there, it's referring to her moral strength. It's referring to a spiritual strength, or in other words, it's a woman who has tremendous character and a tremendous integrity. Now, while we realize there are many mothers and dads all over the world this morning, this mother here that Solomon speaks about is a woman of honor. She's a person of virtue. She is a priceless, priceless person. And as Solomon, he didn't ask the question, who can buy an excellent wife? You see, this kind of woman that Solomon describes here, she is not for sale. He says, who can find an excellent wife? You see, you've got to search for this kind of woman. You've got to look for this kind of mom. It's easy to find a woman with great looks and success and money and style and education. But the first thing that every single man ought to look for in a woman is one with virtue, one with godly character, one with spirituality and godliness. These are the things that last. Someone put these words out there and said, beauty's only skin deep, but ugly's to the bone. Beauty simply fades away, but ugly holds its own. Well, to all of you men out there that are married, or to those of you men who are looking to get married, there are two most important decisions that will be important to you all the days of your life. Number one is the Lord you will serve, and number two is the lady you will marry. Now, the first decision, the Lord you will serve, will determine whether you experience heaven or hell in the life to come. And as someone said, the second decision, the woman you marry will determine whether you experience heaven or hell in this present life. Well, this passage this morning refers to the character of a woman. What do you think her worth is compared? Notice rubies instead of diamonds. He speaks about a diamond catches the light and reflects it. But a ruby is different. A ruby has an inner beauty. It has an inner glow about itself. And if you find a woman like Solomon is speaking about here, who is her price is far above rubies, she will be beautiful on the inside all the days of her life. In fact, in Proverbs 31, verse 11, once again in the English Standard Version, it says, "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." That is speaking about here the way she manages money, that he can trust her. any married couples that have ever been betrayed by one of the spouses will tell you that when trust goes out the door, love oftentimes goes out the window. You see, the framing of a marriage is love, but the foundation of that marriage is trust. And a woman's character here, Solomon says, this type of wife, this type of godly person is one that can be trusted. You see, what is the mark of this good wife? What is the mark of this good mother? She is to be good to her husband and good for her husband. Notice verse 12. She does him good and not harm all the days, notice, of her life. In other words, she's the fountain of blessing. She never runs dry. She does all of the good things for her husband. And she's his greatest encourager this morning. She's his greatest cheerleader this morning. She never speaks evil of her husband. She doesn't defame his character out there in public. She doesn't even do it in privacy in their own home. She's not someone who tears him down, but she is someone who always encourages and builds him up. I would encourage husbands and wives this morning. Now, you probably look at your pastor and go, what does he know? He's never been married. How could he know these things? Well, you've been my good teacher through the years. I've watched, I've observed, and I've noticed. Let me tell you, the woman models the character and the integrity in the home. She is the one who is the trendsetter of this godly character. She is the one who is steady. I would encourage husbands and wives this morning to model this type of behavior in the home, where the wife does her husband good all the days of his life. She doesn't do him evil. She doesn't tear him down in the presence of her children. One of the worst things in the world you can do in front of your children is to speak ugly and evil of the other spouse in front of your children. You see, one of the biggest problems that we have in America today, it's in the home. These are some of the greatest problems that we have. They're some of the greatest challenges that we have. Life becomes difficult. Life becomes tough. Life becomes exhausting. Life becomes so ill-focused. Our priorities get out of sync. And the home becomes in disarray, and all kinds of things begin to happen. And people say things that they later regret. Let me tell you, this godly wife, this godly mother that Solomon speaks about this morning, she's the one that does her husband good all the days of his life. She's the great cheerleader in the family. She's the one that sets the trend in the family. Her character, Solomon says, her integrity of this godly mother is so vital to the lifeline of the home. Secondly, this morning, Solomon here speaks about the competence, not only her character, but he speaks about the competence that's provided by this godly mother in the home. Notice the various things this mother does to provide for a happy home for her husband and for her children. Verse 13 says, she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. You see, in those days, this mother was working. She was working with wool. That was for winter. She was working with flax. That was used for the summer. And it was the job of her to make clothes that she willingly made for her family members. That word willing there, it literally means delightful. This was not a woman who had to be home. She wanted to be at home. She didn't see anything but her duty. She saw it as a delight because she loved her entire family. She loved the Lord. She loved her family. She loved to work joyfully, delightfully, willingly with her hands. Notice something else in verses 14 and 15. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. You see, this godly wife, this godly mom here that Solomon describes, she's the one that goes the extra mile.
She tries to look for the best of the foods and the best of the bargains. And on top of that, she's willing to rise early in the morning to try to meet the needs of her household. Let me tell you, she becomes the doctor. Sometimes in the middle of the night with her sick child, she becomes the launderer. She becomes the cook. She becomes the thermometer holder. And she looks well to the ways of her household. And then notice in verse 16, we notice something else about her competence. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Now, this is a mom. She's obviously working. She had some type of job outside of her home, which would allow her to make some extra money so that she could go and plant this vineyard so that she could help provide for the needs of her family. You and I live in the 21st century. We live in a world today where it usually takes a mother and a father making a living. Sometimes one paycheck just doesn't get the job done. It's not that the mother wouldn't love to stay home. She would love to be there. She would love to be there taking care of her family. But let me tell you, because times change, she's out there working. She works all day. She comes home. She looks at the financial situation of the family. And guys, you need to cut her some slack. Amen? You need to cut mom some slack. I mean, she's got a demanding job as a mother. She's got a demanding job out there in the workplace. She has a demanding job when she comes home and tries to clean the house and wash the clothes and do all of the necessary things in order to keep her family intact. Notice in verse 17, 18, in the New International Version, it says she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Let me tell you, she's a mom. She's a mom that takes the task seriously. She rolls up her sleeves and she gets to work and she builds a good home. She builds a godly home. She knows how to handle finances. She knows how to stretch a dollar. She knows how to find the best buys. And she does everything that she does just for her family. Notice in verse 19. Verse 19 in the ESV, it says, in her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Obviously, when she sits down to make these clothes, she has a practical knowledge of how to do these things and how to expend her energy to its greatest good. In the best sense of the term, she becomes a great homemaker. She becomes the glue that holds the family together. She's the good mom. She's the hard worker. And she works at that because she realizes that God gave her a task. God gave her a job. God gave her a work to do. And there's nothing more important than to be this influential mom. And then notice in verse 23, here's the cool part. You see, she's successful. You see how successful she is because her husband is a success himself. Verse 23 says her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. In ancient times, they would meet there at the city gate. It's where they transacted the businesses of the day. And here, this godly wife, this godly mother, her husband is a success in all that he does. Verse 27 says she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Notice this mom. She runs a tight ship. She keeps the family on course. She never falls asleep at her post. And when her husband's at work or out of town and the children are at school, they don't worry about the home because they know that mom's at the wheel. Let me tell you, it says she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. It's not because the bread of idleness is not good. It's just because she doesn't have time to do those things. She takes her job seriously. Every year, salary.com gives the compensation comparison of what a stay-at-home mother would be worth in the United States workforce, taking into account that she's a nurse, She's a homemaker, a chef, a janitor, an accountant, a teacher, and a chauffeur. And she's available 24/7 every day. It would call for a salary of $138,000 in the same range as a law school professor or a pediatrician. Guys, think you ought to give mom a raise? How many of you guys are going to go home today and hug mom and tell her what a great wife she is? Anybody out there? Well, I see two of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Slowly but surely, a few hands are going up. I want to encourage you guys today, hug your wives. Kids, hug your moms. Let them know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, because they are so valuable and they need that admiration from you and that affirmation. Let me tell you, it shouldn't just be done on Mother's Day. It should be done 365 days out of the year. Amen? Well, let me tell you, there's a story about a husband. He came home from work. The house was absolutely a disaster. Looked like a tornado had come through. The baby was crying. The dishes were dirty. They were all over the counter. There was dirty laundry that was hanging from the doorknobs. The TV was blaring. The beds were unmade. The carpets weren't vacuumed. And dinner was uncooked. And he looked at his wife and he said, "What in the world happened to the house today?" She said, "Well, honey, you know when you asked me the question, what have you been doing today? Well, today I just decided I wasn't doing it." He looked around and he said, "Well, that explains much." Let me tell you, the competence of this godly mother that she provides, the character of this godly mother. I believe that if all homes were centered around godliness and character and love and admiration and affirmation and being a cheerleader, I can promise you American homes would be better than what we have today. Those that are in such disarray would take on a whole new meaning of what the home ought to be. Thirdly and lastly, this morning Solomon gives us the chemistry that's promoted by this godly mother, this godly woman. Verse 26 says, "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue." Let me tell you, she's the mother who hopefully doesn't have to scream too much. Any of you mothers scream at your kids? Don't look so pious this morning, you know you do. Well, let me tell you, this mother, she tries her best. She speaks with wisdom. She speaks with instruction. She tries to be kind in what she has to say. She's really the master teacher, and she teaches some of life's greatest lessons that can only be learned by a mother. This week I picked up an article that says, "All I am, I owe to my mother." If your mother opens her mouth with wisdom, thank her and thank God for her. If your mother helped you know your Heavenly Father better, forsake not your mother's teaching. If God has blessed you with a godly wife, know that she's far more precious than jewels. George Washington testified, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, the intellectual, and the physical education I received from her." Abraham Lincoln agreed. He said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." As did Charles Spurgeon when Spurgeon said, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother. Like them, I will forever be grateful for my godly wife and her eternal influence on our family." And then the article says this: if your mother is with our Father, thank him for the life and her legacy. If she's on this side of glory, thank her for the gift of your life and her love. And then I love this phrase. It's been said that great people plant trees they'll never sit under. Great people plant trees they'll never sit under. And then the article said, it's been said that great people plant trees they'll never sit under. Who is greater in your world than your mother? Let me tell you,
this last part of Solomon's recitation about this godly mother says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let me tell you, no one leaves a greater legacy than a Wonder Woman who strives to be the godly wife and the godly mother. Let me tell you, there's no more powerful force on planet Earth than the life of a godly mother who's sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's committed to her husband and devoted to her children and dedicated to her home and to her faith. Solomon said, charm is deceitful because what a woman may be on the outside may not be what she is on the inside, because beauty is vain, because it ultimately passes and fades away. But godliness and graciousness are lights that never grow dim. They never grow dark and they never go out, but they are aromas that never lose their fragrance. Let me tell you, the next time you go out to eat, or the next time you're in your home and you reach over and you pick up a bottle of Heinz 57 ketchup, I want you to remember that Henry J. Heinz, the founder of Heinz ketchup, when his last will and testament was read, this is what it said. He said, looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, our desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will is the most important item in it. A confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys as well as sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God. Through Jesus Christ, this legacy was left to me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success I have ever obtained. Let me say to you today, in leaving here this morning, may I remind all of us, there are many great wonders out there in this world, but one of the greatest wonders of all was when God made mommies. And God made wives who desire to put their faith and trust in Him and to live a godly life filled with character and integrity and to have a home that is a household of faith. Would you stand as we pray together this morning?